Because in the afternoon, that same sickness is gone, and you can go wherever you want to go. All right, so So a lot of people wake up and say, I'm sick. You're not sick.
Yes.
You're tired. I wake up in the morning, I feel sick. Amen. Especially when they keep me out to 12 or 1, I got to wake up at 6. I don't feel like getting up. But guess what? Once I get up, I'm not sick.
Yes.
If I sit down too long, I might fall asleep. Amen. But a lot of people use that, oh, I wouldn't feel good. You did feel good. You just were tired. Amen. So you gotta press over it. But nevertheless.
Praise
the Lord. All right. My wife called it the Sunday morning syndrome.
Yes.
All week, but let's not just call it Sunday morning. Let's call it the church syndrome. Because a lot of people do it on Wednesday night too. When I went so hard, I was just so tired, I couldn't make it. After all God has done for you. Alright. Deuteronomy 6:4-12. You read the first fourth verse read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt listen. When God's word is in your heart, you have to teach it. You have to share it. Can we say hallelujah? You shall teach it diligently unto who? Thank God for those children that testify. Somebody's been teaching them. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou, when God blesses you, Lord, thank you. And you didn't do anything for that blessing. He says, so when thou go into these goodly cities, when y'all go into these places that you have not built, and how it is full of, Lord, look at us. Look where God has brought us from. When we didn't have anything, but God has filled our houses with good things, which thou fillest not, and wells which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and are full. Anybody full today? Lord, thank you. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for once again assembling ourselves together in thy presence. Lord, we thank you for how good you've been to us in spite of ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you look beyond all of our faults. And this morning that you see our needs. But our heart's desire today is for a greater divine inspection. Oh God, don't just search the open parts of our hearts. Lord, we ask you to go down deeper. Lord, we ask you to search the parts of our heart that we don't know about ourselves, and then send the word to reveal our hearts. Lord, we ask you to send the word of God for those that may be troubled in mind. Lord, send the word to give us direction. Lord, we ask you to send the word. Lord, those that are in a quandary about what direction to take. Those that are in a quandary about what to do, Lord, send the word. Lord, those that are battling employment situations, send the word. Lord, those that are having a relationship problem, send the word. Lord, we just ask you to send the word that you might supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And for this we thank you, can we say in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. So, this morning, I had several different directions of the same scripture that the Lord was leading me in. And And I was like, Lord, I don't just want to say what I want to say. I need you to lead me. Little did I know that this message is probably for most of those that are here. Amen. I just give us our title in advance. The Lord has blessed you, but have you forgotten the Lord? The Lord has blessed you, but have you forgotten the Lord? So this is Moses. You know, this is Moses coming to the near the end of his journey of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. How many know Moses had gone through some challenges with the people of God? Amen. Moses had his up, Moses had his down. There were many times when Moses stood alone. Amen. There were times when he didn't have anybody but Joshua and Caleb. But Moses and Joshua and Caleb said, if the Lord be for us, we're not careful to examine the situation. We're not fearful of what we don't have. We're not fearful of everything that's taking place. They said, if the Lord delight in us, anybody want God just to delight in you? Does anybody delight when God delights in you? That means God said, I'm well pleased. Now, delight does not mean that we are trying to be what God wants us to be, but to delight in God, for God to delight in us, that means, Lord, I'm doing your will to the best of my ability. So we fall into problems when we try to govern God's will for our lives based on others. Has God been good to you?
Yes.
Amen. Did anybody have a job today that you didn't have years ago? Do you have a place of residence today that you didn't have years ago? I said, does anybody have a church today that we didn't have years ago? We didn't build this church. We didn't provide. God said, I gave you this. But even though I bless you, I want you to be aware lest you forget the Lord. Amen. And I'm afraid some people have forgotten those jobs that we allow to take us out of church when they don't have to. And I didn't say they take you out of church when they have to. I said when they don't have to. You have to beware because God gave you that job. God gave you your help. God gave you that blessing. And any time God can take it away. So when you can be here and you ought not to be here because I'm sick. But if they run a spiritual test on you, the sickness is not physical. If they run a spiritual diagnosis, the sickness is not physical, but it is spiritual. So if God places us on that spiritual examination table, amen, we can make up all kind of reasons for why we can and ain't and don't and won't. But God says, I know you, and I know you better than you know yourself. So we need to stop making excuses for why we are not in the place that God wants us to be. Amen. Anything you want to do, you can do it. I use myself as an example. Amen. Because I have to live what I preach. But when I had that sickness from being bit by a tick, I spent 10 days in the hospital. Amen. When I got out of the hospital, how many know when you get out of the hospital, I've been in a long time. What's the first thing the doctor tell you to do? Go home, rest, and relax. I've been in this hospital this time, you think I'm going home? And we got church tomorrow. Matter of fact, I told them in the hospital, if you don't get me out of church by this hospital for tomorrow for me to go to church, I'm walking out. So we can do it one of two ways. You can release me, I'll release myself. Amen. You know what? That hospital told me I need to get closer to God. Amen. Now listen, every situation is different. Hear me. So when that little man had heart surgery, he couldn't come out and come right to church. But somewhere along the line, he was stuck church in there. Right? I'm saying this. We have to be able to answer to God for ourselves, you know? So a lot of times people say, well, Pastor, I just feel so bad I couldn't do anything. But I had a doctor's appointment the next day and I went there. What is that saying about God? Hey, listen, y'all gonna be mad at me anyway, so I might as well tell you the truth. the doctor's appointment, what was different? Amen. We can even get you a wheelchair and roll you in church. Just like they did in the doctor's appointment. What I'm saying is this, we have forgotten what God has done for us. So in our forgetting, our first choice is that I need a break. So I'm going to get a break from church. After all God has done for you, all the ways God made for you and me, amen. Like I said, I told them I'm going to go to church. So they rolled me down to the car in a wheelchair because my feet were so swollen, I couldn't even walk. And then when Gio was right here, I was with Gio and Justice. This is about 2 weeks later. And we had to cross the street. Cars were flying down the street. I told y'all, go ahead. Because I'm going to make it. I was doing me. Who's that guy you say your father used to walk like? No. Who's this guy, you know, the shuffle? That's how I was walking. I didn't pick my. Honestly. Right? Jasmine's on my foot. Tiger. Oh, listen. But you know what? The thing was in. My foot is going to be just as swollen at home as it's going to be in church. I'm going to be sitting at home. I'm going to be sitting in church. So what is the difference? You don't have to say amen. I'm telling you the truth. It's nothing going to change because, well, when I stayed home, I felt better. You felt better because you made yourself feel better. If you came to church, you would have felt the same way. How do I know? Because when I came here, something got a hold of me. Yes, I was able to move. I was able to do what God wanted me to do because I didn't allow my situation. I'm saying every situation is different. Every person is different. So I'm not condemning those when you can't make it, then don't make it. But I'm saying when you know it's just, I don't really, the honest answer, everybody want honest answers? I just really didn't feel like going. After all God has done, God, thank you. So Moses is dealing with these people that are making up excuses for why they're not doing what God told them to do. So he says, and we just read in this sixth chapter, he says to them, he said, listen, God's word is so important. I want you to teach it to your children diligently when they're in the house. He said, God's word is so important even when you're on a trip traveling somewhere in the car. Talk God's word. Right? We didn't have cars back then, but we know, he said, as you go about the way, still teach God's word. He said, when you lay down, teach them God's word. When they rise up, teach them God's word. That God's word is so important. He said, you need to get it in your heart. Well, why is God's word so important? Because when my flesh tries to rise up, when I have the word of God down in me, his word will be like a burning fire. Shut up. The name of the Lord. So what's in the cup? All those things that make excuses. You know, sometimes when you feel those low moments, amen, when you feel those depressed moments, when you feel down, just start thinking of His goodness for you. Just meditate on all that He's done for you. Amen. When you say, well, I just did this, just think of His goodness to me. And it's not right.
Thank you.
And God bless you. Have you forgotten the law? Amen. Are you telling God to thank you that this fall is the same thing as I'm going to refer to Isaiah the 55th chapter, the second verse. He talks to God is dealing with his people. He said, why are you spending so much time on things that will not satisfy you? Why are you consuming your mind, your efforts in things that don't satisfy? That satisfies the same thing as full, and it's the Hebrew word seva, which means to be full to the brim. Full to the brim. You don't need anything else, but God has fully satisfied you. So God has given you all of this, your needs, not your wants. God has provided all of this for you. But what are you giving God for all that he's done? For all the ways that he's made. He said, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought me forth out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. So this message that he was trying to convey, the Lord to Moses, was so important. He turns around in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, which we're going to go to, and he repeats some of the same message. Amen? So let me go to Deuteronomy 8 chapter. I only have a few more minutes. Y'all stay with me. You ever know something you seen years ago? When Justin and his mom and kids, excuses, excuses, the devil here provide them everything. You ever heard that? Excuses, excuses, he'll provide them everything. So from the church, you're still waiting. No, you remember that? You remember that? You remember that? Oh, y'all play gospel for all the yard, for all the kids. Just your mind? Well, yeah, WHAZ. He's still WHAZ all the time. Excuses, excuses. You hear what?
Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The devil will provide them.
For
the church, they say excuses. You hear them. might have been before your time, Brother Fritz. I went, bro, you remember, right? Oh, where were y'all at? That's what that used to be everybody's favorite sin. Comes off. James, you remember? Oh, you don't remember. Well, you know what it said? Way back then, the church, excuses cause you to stay away from church. That's the bottom line is, what excuses are you making to stay away from church? You know, so sometimes I know, I've seen people and say, hey, I was so tired, I was so worn out. Oh, we had the best meal yesterday, I cooked up a storm. What you cooking? After church and during church. Ouch, right? Amen? If you got enough energy to cook a meal during church, you got enough time to be in, you got enough energy to be in church. Because we'll allow our excuses to keep us away from God's word and his blessing. Deuteronomy 8 chapter, I'm going to finish here, even though I have four more pages to go to, I won't go to them. I didn't prepare a message for my 30 minute, I didn't prepare a sermon for 30 minute, but God's not. Amen. But Deuteronomy 8 chapter, 10 verse, it said, when thou hast eaten out our, you mean you're satisfied to the full. Amen. Some of us, we might want something, but we don't need anything. We are satisfied to the full. Thou shalt, after all that, I will bless the Lord at all times. God has done so much for you and you can't bless God? How can you come to church, your testimony servant, after all God has done for you? And if he didn't do it for you, look what he's done for your family and loved ones. Thank you. He said, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou, he's repeating a little while later what the glory told him. He said, you know what the biggest problem with the saints? Forget it. Forgetting where God has brought you from. Forgetting how God has blessed you. Forgetting the disease that you handed to others out. You ought to be blessing him. The condition of sickness you have that had others confined to some kind of institution, you ought to be blessing him. Amen. After all God has done it, you can't even say thank you, Jesus. You don't have to say a whole lot. Just tell him thank you for all that you've done. You don't have to give a 10-minute testimony, but you ought to have a mind to bless him. Bless the Lord. If you will not forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment, and his statutes which I command thee, he's repeated. Lest when thou hast eaten thine heart, he's telling, listen, you've been so blessed. Look what God has done for you. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and has goodly houses, right? Built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herd and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all of our hands is. Listen, all of us can say, we know God has multiplied what we have. All of us have more than we ever had. God has multiplied it. Shouldn't we have a bless the Lord? Shouldn't we have a thank you, Jesus? Instead of excuses for why we don't come to church, he said, then thine heart be 14th verse. Then thine heart be your challenge is not the devil. Your challenge is what's in your heart. God has blessed you with so much that when your heart is lifted up, we know whose heart was lifted. Who's the first one that had their heart lifted up? Satan. Lucifer at that time. So what happened to him when his heart was lifted up? God said, you can't be in my presence. Right? So when his heart was lifted up, God said, I have to excuse you from my presence. Because a lifted up heart cannot be in God's presence. So the problem is, so many people have been so blessed, they have inadvertently lifted up their hearts and don't realize it. Amen. Anytime you can excuse God, you have a lifted up heart. Because we ought to be blessing God for all that he's done for us. Can we just say hallelujah? That heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord. In other words, that he has blessed you so much. How can you forget the blesser?
Yes.
How can you, the blessing, forget how you got your blessing? Yes. Amen. I just want to skip down. He talks about, he said, listen, I've kept you when others were killed in situations. He said, I protected you when others were in dangerous situations. I put an arm, as they said, Jesus, be a fence all around me. When others got the same situation you were in, God said, I kept you. The accident that you escaped. God said, someone wasn't even as bad, and they were a fatality. God said, look what I've done for you. Look how I blessed you. Look how I kept you. Look how I made ways for you. How can you forget me? After all that I've done for you, can we just say hallelujah? He said, not only that, remember the time when you used to be hungry? You didn't know where your next meal was coming from. God said, I provided you with manna in the wilderness, and people didn't even know where it came from. He said, I did this so I might humble thee, that thy might prove thee to do thee. God said, oh, listen, what he's saying in every day, he said, all your heart troubles you're going through, he said, I'm going to make a better way for you. But I need to go, you to go through it with the right spirit and the right attitude. If you go through it the right way, God says, I'm going to bless your latter end. In the end, you're going to be blessed. But I need you to go through what you're going through to get to the blessing. A lot of us just want to go from where we are to the blessing and don't want to go through anything. Well, how did David say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want? He's making a way for me out of no way, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, David said, you know what he said? He's going to wake you up. He prepared a table before me in the give thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware to thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, Lord, I don't want you to listen to me. Don't ever let God testify against you. Listen, other people testify, and there are judges that might be able to overrule their testimony. But when God testifies against you, he's not only the witness, but he's also the judge. God is both witness and judge. So others will testify based on what they thought they perceived. God said, I'm testifying on what I know. He said, beware lest I testify against you. If we were all as we stand, if we were all in court right now, if the elders and the ministers come forward, if we were all in church right now, and we, not church, if we were all in a courtroom right now, and God himself is the judge, as each one of us step to the witness stand, what would God say to us? What will he testify about us? Amen. What does God know about us that others don't know? You don't want God to testify against you because you are walking in a way that's contrary to his will and his word. Lord, don't testify against me. We went over not too long ago in the book of Micah. God said, thou knowest, O man, what God does require of thee. But to do good and to walk humbly before the Lord thy God. Then he tells them before that, he says, you got to talk with me and you testify against me. But I don't want to testify against God. And guess what? I definitely don't want God testifying against me. Because what we know about God's testimony is his 1,000% accurate. When God testifies, he doesn't testify based on a speculation or a thought. But God testified because he knows us. Why? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart of his. Hallelujah.